Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord once again. This is Apostle Johnny Floyd, and I am coming to you from the magical city of Rome, Georgia, where I was born and raised. And so I'm excited tonight. I think this is a very crucial night in the time period that we are in. And if any of you saw the communication that I had out, you have seen that I wanted to be led by the Lord to discuss some things. And we started out last week by talking about the feast of the Passover, because God said not to forget the feast. And so we want to continue on with that, and it's going to follow a line of things by which I believe God has spoken unto me to do and to speak of. And so before I get started, I want to go into a word of prayer. If you would, pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Father, we appreciate you. Lord, we adore you. God, it is the unequivocated, unadulterated essence of your word by which we speak today, Father. And not so much, Lord, by what was written, O God, but what you are saying to your people today. There is a message, O Lord, and you are continually speaking. And, Father, we don't have to seek for a word, God, because you're speaking. Now, here's a delivering of your word to your people. And so, God, we ask tonight, Father, that you speak to this vessel, Father, that is flawed, that is broken, O God, and that you seal the cracks, Father, and that's what you have to flow out, O God, will, God, minister to you first, O Lord, that I could serve you first, O Lord, and that you prepare the table for the listener. God, we bless you. Father, we appreciate you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Well, again, you know, we're going to dive into the word of the Lord and talking about the second of the seven feasts of the Lord. Some call them the Feast of God or the Feast of Israel, or the seven feasts of the children of Israel. There are multiple descriptions by which these are identified. But we want to look and, you know, at the second feast. But before I do that, I want to give you basis of scripture, and that is Leviticus chapter number 23, and the book of Exodus chapter number 12. And so those are the foundation pieces. And I like to give things in context. I don't like to quote a scripture that is far from what the essence of what we're discussing, just to drive a point. I think there is a illegitimacy done when one quotes a scripture and does not know the context of it to make it fit what they are talking about. I believe anytime someone preaches and comes up with a topic, then looks for the scripture to substantiate what they're trying to say, have done it backwards. We need to look for what God is saying to us, and he will give us biblical context, and then from there we can establish the topic or the mode thereof. And so if you can, you know, if you have your pencils with you, because I really want you to take notes tonight as we dive into this. And if you looked at what I had put out, I had discussed the fact that, or put in thought, and I may have put it out wrongly. If I did, you know, please forgive me, that we celebrate Christmas, Palm Sunday, and Easter, or Resurrection Sunday, but we fail in recognizing or celebrating the feast. And all the things we've done traditionally, we have neglected to understand or dive into some significance of why God said, don't forget the feast. And the way the writer writes this, as we will read in the book of Exodus, it says to not forget the feast forever. So before I go into that, I want to give you what the seven feasts are. It's the Feast of the Passover, we talked about last week, then it was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost. I want you to, and we're going to go through all of these throughout the next following weeks, right? The Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement is a feast, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And if I could say that again, it is one, the first feast, the Feast of the Passover. Trust me, you're going to see something here, and I want you to grab a hold of it. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is the second one. Then the third one is the Feast of First Fruits, and then the Feast of Pentecost, right? The Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So last week we talked about the Feast of the Passover, and I want you all to grab a hold of this now, is that this is what God had instructed us not to forget. Now, I want to draw a line of significance in comparisons to, so you'll see the essence of it. So the Feast of the Passover deals with the slaying of a lamb and the blood being used over the threshold of the homes of the children of Israel while in Egypt to protect them from death. Because God says, I'm going to come in that night, and as I come in, once I see the blood, I'll pass over. And that is the blood of a slain lamb, he-goat, turtle dove, you know, and if they didn't have enough or had just enough, they would welcome someone else in. Very significant here now, because God says for us not to forget this now. As I said last week, a day starts in Israel when the sun goes down. So we roughly right now at 7 o'clock, a little bit after, and the sun is getting ready to go down. And as the sun goes down, the day comes to an end and a new day starts. And so if we stay true to the Jewish calendar in dates, the Sabbath is not on a Sunday. The word Sunday is Greek for a Greek established word, the sun, S-U-N, day. That was the day they recognized the Sunday. And Saturday was the Sabbath, if I could say that. So, which means that, if Jesus was crucified on Wednesday, then he rose the third day, and that third day being Saturday, right, was that day when he got up was Saturday. Now, it's interesting now because knowing the correlation between these, that the Feast of the Passover would happen during the time period that Jesus was slain. He was the lamb, right? If we look at our biblical clocks in months, Jesus was slain during the Feast of the Passover, all right? I want you all to go back and look at this, and you'll read this, and you'll discover this, that this was the time clock that that God had given them to never forget. And so, you know, God gives instructions for us not to forget this, and it takes us to the time of when the Lamb of God, he would sacrifice, and where I said last week is the first time that blood has separated life from death, right? It was interesting now because the Feast of the Passover would happen on that Friday, right? That Friday. That's that third day into what is now called the Feast of the Passover, right? Passover feast starts, and if we look at our clock calendar today, started on April the 8th and ended on the 10th. The 10th, actually, on that Friday, was the Feast of the Passover, right? Because that's when God saw the blood, right? And the next day was the beginning of the Feast of unleavened bread. I want y'all to grab a hold of that now. So the day that Jesus gets up, that you celebrate Resurrection Sunday or Easter, was the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Right? Now, that's on the Sabbath. That's on the Sabbath. That runs directly with the calendar. Us on the Sunday, here in the U.S., they celebrated Resurrection Sunday or Easter. Now, I want to give you history now. We started calling it Resurrection Sunday when people got wind of the fact that Easter, during the time period also that Jesus rose from the dead on that Sabbath, was also the time of Easter, or the fertility god, which was a rabbit. Okay? And that is a pagan worship, right? So it's interesting now that we remember Easter and we chronologically put in the Sunday as the Sabbath, when the Sabbath was actually on a Saturday, right? It's strange that we remember those, but we did not recognize the feast. I'm going somewhere. All right, I want y'all to bear with me now. Just bear with me. I want you to get your notes out. And so as you read throughout the time, from the time that God gives instructions to the children of Israel through Moses, and Moses tells Aaron, he gives them instructions, right, that if they do this, they will be spared from death. Now, as you go through, I want you to read both of those now, and you will find the directions or the instructions about the feast of the seventh feast in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. But now, you know, again, as we go through Exodus chapter number 12, these are the instructions, and God tells them not to forget this, that you should remember this moment, this time, forever. Oh, Lord Jesus, because if we can remember this time, we will watch God do things that are significant in to the believer. Now, I want you to grab this now, that the non-believer cannot even fathom what this season is because we have not understood it ourselves. I grew up, you know, as a kid celebrating Easter, you know, hiding eggs and putting the new suits on, parents bought them for you, showing up. Probably the most day you will find folks in the church on Easter or Resurrection Sunday. It's amazing, though, that the day that Jesus did arise, we don't celebrate. We pick the day after. Uh-oh, my Lord. There's something about that now. There is something about that that requires us to really look at our traditions. These are not traditions that God had given man. These are the traditions that man came up with themselves. Whew. Lord Jesus, I just hope you all are writing this down. And so with the Feast of the Unleavened Bread being the day after the Feast of the Passover, because the Passover recognizes that one day, but the instructions to prepare for the Passover was prior to that one day, but that one day that they had completely done what God had asked, that the Passover would recognize death passing over, right? Y'all with me? And it would also, as I told you last week, would recognize the beginning of deliverance because of the fact that after that day, you know, the Feast of the Passover, or when God saw the blood and he passed over, but all the Egyptians' firstborn were killed, firstborn males, the firstborn men of Israel were to be killed, and Pharaoh spoke that out of his mouth, but God said that he would send the plague, and that if you follow his instructions, that when this death angel would come in on this final plague, if you did what he asked, that you would be spared. So you had something to do to prepare to be spared. Oh, Lord, my God. Mm. And so now the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Unleavened Bread starts. It starts the day after because he had given instructions that when you get ready to leave, when you've been delivered, I want you to leave all of the leaven in Egypt. Now, so that means that that's something that we need to understand of what the leaven is then and what it is even today. So the leaven wasn't necessarily yeast, right? It was something along with yeast that fermented bread that would cause it to rise as it sit and they put in the heated compartment, a makeshift oven with fire sitting on stone, that the bread would cook and rise. And so now God would give them instructions that when you leave Egypt, leave the leaven. And if you've heard the parable that was used in the New Testament where it says that a little leaven spoils the whole loaf, because now this was a recognition of sin in the parable, you know. And so now, interestingly enough, that the Feast of Unleavened Bread would also start on the day that Jesus walks out of the grave, my Lord. Woo, Lord Jesus. Boy, I hope y'all grab this. Because what man used before in the bread and Jesus being the bread of life, right? That was something in him that was not that no longer needed to be in man. So let's figure out what that is, right? Which means it dives into a deeper understanding of why he tells us now not to forget the feast, because there's something we focus on the Sunday, him getting up and the cross. But there was something significant now that happened, him being the bread of life. There is something extracted out of the dough that bread would be made from. There's something that is removed now that when the children of Israel are delivered, that they no longer need. Whew. Oh, Jesus, boy. Again, now, this causes a much more deeper discussion. And the reason why God says, don't forget the feast, right? While we are putting on new suits and putting eggs out and wanting to walk into a building, we are missing something here. While our children are hunting down eggs that have been colored, or we've gotten real good with it now, we put money or candy in the eggs, and so not knowing that we are pushing them to worship a pagan god. And so nowhere did God tell us to remember Easter. Nowhere did he tell us to call it Resurrection Sunday. He told us not to forget the feast. And I guarantee you that if we looked into this deeper portion that we're about to dive into and why he did not want us to forget the feast, we would even understand the season and the time that we're in. So now let's dive a little deeper here now. And so if the leaven in the bread represented sin, then there's something now that happened when Jesus got up. And if we go to I think it's 2 Peter, chapter number 3, verse number 19. And we might go a little bit further into it from there, but this implies that when Jesus gave up the ghost, that he went to hell. And the only way that he could get into hell, he had to take on the sins of the world. And as he took on the sins of the world, it gave him access to hell. And the third chapter in 2 Peter, it implies now that Jesus went to hell and preached. And the sin that he took on, he left in hell. Uh-oh. My Lord, whew, Jesus, boy, this is what it implies now. That when you left Egypt, right, you left the leaven that was in the bread, and Egypt represented a hell that the children of Israel had to be delivered from. Boy. Whew. But I hope y'all get what I'm saying here. In parts and pieces, we talked about this. But now look at the power now, because when Jesus rises up from the grave, the Bible says is that when he got up, that the dead in Christ got up with him. And so Peter now implies is that when Jesus preached, he took now what Adam had given up, he took from Satan, and that was the authority that God gave man. So Jesus leaves sin for us in hell, and he brings out the authority that God had given Adam in the beginning, and what Adam had given up to Satan when he now had more trust in disobeying God than he did in trusting God for his word. So now watch this now. In the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, Jesus gets up during this very time period. I'm about to do something, y'all. I want y'all to bear with me here now. He gets up during this very time period, and he walks the earth for a number of days. And he shows himself to some people. And because he's about to show himself to the disciples that did not know that he was alive. And some didn't believe what had happened, like Thomas. And when Jesus shows himself, Thomas had for it to be proven to him in his own eyes, he had to stick his finger in the nail print of his hand. But now pay close attention to this now. I want y'all to pay close attention to this because I don't want to get into the other feast now. I want to stay with where I am. And so now look at the unleavened bread now. The children of Israel are delivered, and they leave the leaven. But, you know, now God takes them out of Egypt and leads them into a place that he can dwell with them. Because the wilderness was that place. If you remember the instructions that God gave Moses, he wanted him to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to tell him, let my people go, that they may dwell with me in the wilderness. So the wilderness now can't be a difficult place if that's where God, when he delivers his people, wants them to go to. Because before sometimes you enter into the promise that God made you before you even knew what your name was, there are some things that even though you left 11, you brung that mentality with you. Don't forget the feast now, or don't forget it. And so if we would pay more attention to understanding the fact that leaven was left, meaning that there was no need now to make bread or eat bread now based upon how you were eating it before. If Jesus is the bread of life, then there's no need now for him to have something in him that would firm it, because he's all powerful by himself. And that addition sometimes we think we need. We trust more now because we've gotten used to some things. Watch it now. We've gotten accustomed to some things. Watch yourself. We've gotten to the point of where we figure that we can't do without some of the practices that we have experienced in this time. Famine has come in the land. Now, I want to distinguish between God not telling it to rain and 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, verse number 14. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. That was a drought in the land, and they were asking for rain. Ooh, Lord. I'm not using that scripture because that's out of context. What is in contextual here is there's a famine in the land, and it won't hit unless God gives it permission. Let me back you up here a little bit. Because before God can touch, before Satan can touch any of you all, God has to give him permission. Watch it now, because even Satan said, Lord, he called God Lord. I can't touch him as long as, speaking of Job, I can't touch him as long as you have your hedges, your arms of protection around him. But if you move it, God, I guarantee you, Lord, that he will curse your name. And so Satan had asked permission for God to remove his hands. And so now, so this is a plague that we're enduring. And if we read further down in the 12th chapter in the book of Exodus, he says and tells the children of Israel that when you put the blood on the threshold of your home, stay inside. Uh-oh. Watch it now. It says, stay inside. Need for you to stay inside. And so now, as the Feast of Unleavened Bread takes place, now God says something that we don't understand because we think is at a conference or a convention or something. But he says, let there be a holy convocation. Y'all need to understand that now. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, right, means that God now tells them to leave, but leave sin where it is. Uh-oh. Now, as you leave that sin and you exit out or you come out of your bondage, the thing that had you bound, I want you to recognize I need you to leave that stuff where you got it from because I didn't give that to you before you came there. Interesting now. That's unique. That's mind-boggling. That's sensitive now, because we were more interested in coming together and having church. But God said, for 7 days now, I want to bring the leaders together. Uh-oh. For 7 days, the holy convocation meant that Moses would bring together the seven leaders or the 12 leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel for 7 days, and there's going to be some things that God is going to deal with them about. At the end, you bring everybody together. I think we got it twisted here. We got it backwards. And we think because we walk into a building that we call church on the day that we recognize Easter, what we call Resurrection Sunday, that we're beginning to understand the cross. Oh, you have no clue now of what the cross was all about. Because now you made that Resurrection Sunday tradition that you created, not understanding what God had established that he wanted you to recognize, you twisted it now because now you say, well, what better time could it be that we could introduce people to Christ than on Easter on that Sunday?
And it wasn't the Sabbath. If the leaders would have come together and recognized that this was the feast of the unleavened bread, that as soon as we come out of this feast, we're going to bring everybody together. Watch it now, because if the leaders would have come together, if they were Christian, as they say they were, I say they had to be believers. If they really recognized the fact that God was pulling them together in this feast of unleavened bread, that they would recognize that God delivered them from sin, then he could now talk to them. He could now tell them that what he just delivered them from will not bother them anymore. Uh-oh, my Lord. He was delivering them from bondage. And if they would have come together and recognized this one thing instead of separating themselves, to be in a building, then they would have known what God was up to. Some of y'all might question me. I don't care. Go back and read for yourself. He said, "Let this be a holy convocation before you." He gave these instructions to Moses. And if you read further in the 12th chapter in the book of Exodus, Moses talks about how he called in the leaders. At the end of the Passover, the beginning of unleavened bread, he called in the leaders. And that was instructions now that were given to them. How many times have we waited until this time period that we call a look for Palm Sunday or Easter or Resurrection Sunday, and we have not as leaders come together to hear what God was doing? We look at this one day and we have not recognized the feast. And God didn't say that he wanted us to do this for a short time period. He instructed the children of Israel. Can I get a little bit more deeper? He instructed the ones that are called by him, the ones that are selected, the ones that have decided that they were going to follow him, the leaders now, not the ones that are waiting to be served, but the ones that serve, the servants of God. They're the servant leaders that roll up their sleeves now, and that they are doing the will of God, and not from a churchy manifestation or perspective, but the very essence now, what God had asked of them, because they were now supposed to take the information that God had given them, because at the end of the 7 days, as he brings them together, comes about another feast. Let's look now. If you compare the time period that Jesus went to the cross, you will hear that this was during the time period of the Passover, the Passover feast. And when Jesus gets up, the Passover had ended. He was now into a season, for he recognized that sin had been defeated. We are still in the feast of unleavened bread, where some of us have forgotten about Easter, Resurrection Sunday. We're still focused on the plague. But if we're listening to the very power and essence of God, he left us a pattern that he wanted us to see something that we could recognize his hand. As the leaven was left for 7 days, the leaders were before God. Wasn't time for them to talk to the people. They were exiting Egypt. They were leaving the very thing that had them bound for a number of years. I wonder if I really grab hold to the thought of the possibility. If we were not so focused on walking into a building, but coming in a secluded place, as God had recognized that he defeated sin, what instructions would he have for us in this time? Folks that were clouding in and crowding into the church buildings, people that were looking for something to be said on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook Live, what if the leaders had decided to come before God in a holy convocation? What kind of word would God have spoken to them to talk to his people that he loves, that serve him? Jesus being the greatest servant of them all, and as a mystery now. What if we would have listened to God? And even as the children of Israel were leaving, Pharaoh was upset and decided that he would come back and take back what he just gave up, not knowing the God that they served. These were not Christians. These were just people that were following a man that had more belief in God, even in his fearful state, because he was encountered with Pharaoh's army on one side, the Red Sea on the other. But God instructed his leader that he had already given him something in his hand to defeat the enemy and to lead them across a place where there seemed like there was no place to go. How, isn't that interesting now that even the people begin to say, Moses, you brung us out here to die. Isn't it interesting that people are more concerned about money in this hour, in this time period now? They're willing to sacrifice lives just to make money. So leaven has been left, but the mentality has come with it. The customs that they are used to has been removed. Some call this the new normal. That leaven has been left. Is this the new normal? Some don't like the new normal. Everybody wanting to be delivered. Let's go back and read. Everybody wasn't delivered. He was only out to take the children of Israel, to get them back to the land that he had promised them to Abraham. They had left their promise. A young man asked me yesterday, what did I think that this thing was? I didn't think it was a referendum on the world. I really didn't. I didn't. I thought in my spirit, as I talked to the Lord, I think this is a referendum on his people. Because they had gotten too close to the world. And they wanted the world now where you couldn't look at the difference between the world and the children of God. They called themselves Christians and God called them saints. Saints meant something different than Christianity. And they had mixed so diligently with the world that even the world can't tell the difference between the Christians and the world and themselves. Because we started acting more like them than we did like God. I think God wasn't angry with the U.S. I don't believe God was angry with the other countries and things of that nature. I think he was angry with his people. The ones that had said they've been called by his name. Because we had put ourselves in a bondage situation, chasing after the same thing the world was chasing after. And as we got caught up in it, if you notice, the first plague that came with the fall of the economy, it should not have ever affected the children of God. But because they were so connected to the world, when the world lost money, so did they. This is the first time we've seen where God sent something that is numerically, symbolically, or even visually the same as the 10th plague. Well, death now takes a toll. And even those that were pastors and things of that nature, we watched death come. People that we call believers, we watched death come and take them. Somebody that we know as our spiritual leaders was more linked on their traditions than they were knowing what God said, don't forget. Our time and season takes us back historically. And when we don't understand history, we have a tendency to repeat the same acts that got them in trouble in the beginning. We crossed over Jordan and became a part of people that God never intended us to do or to be a part of. And because there is a cry from his own people, he has to deliver us. Not because so much of the cry. He has to do it because of the promise he made to us. I want you all to pay close attention to this season. And we don't forget the cross. But the first thing that God told us never to forget was the feast. I hope this encourages you to go back and read now. We have created our own customs because of the world. And we call the church or the building, or we call people because they are pastors and because they go to church or have a church, we call them Christians, and they may be, but they don't believe. I'm not pointing any one person or pastors out. You know, and they have their own customs, religiously created their own customs. And yet it does not mimic anything or come close to recognizing or remembering what God did. The same thing that happened with the children of Israel the day of the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread is the same thing that Jesus did. When he gave up the ghost, went to hell and preached, and rose up and took everything that Satan had, and that was the authority that God gave Adam. The power in that is that we're getting close to understanding now why God wanted this to be significant to us, why he wanted us not to forget. Wow, it was important for us to really recognize and remember this season, because this is something that the children of Israel, not the Jews just represent the tribe of Judah, 12 tribes, and just because they are in Israel doesn't make them Jews. That was a tribe of people, but there are more tribes. He gave those instructions to them all because the promise was to all of them, the sons of Abraham. Dear heart,
I hope I said something tonight that would make you want to go pick up now and read. Because we've made so much about a day. Trust me, we're getting close to some other days and where folks have made this day one day in the feast about a religious concept or belief. And we've even called it an experience. That means we're looking more of it from our own understanding and losing the concepts of what God intended. This is important for us right now. As much as we endure and see how this pandemic, as people call it, some believe it's real, some believe it's a hoax, whatever you believe, I'm not here to challenge that, it's real that this plague has or is killing people and destroying folks. But what are the instructions now that the leaders that have come together in the Feast of the Tabernacle as a holy convocation, what are the instructions now that God has given them? Have the leaders come together? Or was Easter just a day to plan to see how much money they could get as an offering? Was Resurrection Sunday just about, let's praise God that Jesus rose from the dead? We know he rose because he's not there. He's not on the cross anymore. What did he do that was significant, that was powerful, that gave us authority, that led us to a point where we know we have been delivered? Some say this is religion. I say it is the very power of God, the authority of God that he has given to the ones that know who he is. Well, God bless all of you. I hope you take in regard of the things I said. And if you don't take them for my word, I want you to read. I want you to study. You know, there are so many things that we repeat that people have said that don't make sense because God didn't say that. And we're creating or have created our own situation, created our own customs, and we're following those customs and yet have even come close to understanding what God wanted. If you understand the Feast of the Tabernacle, you'll definitely know the purpose of the cross. Well, the heartless, join me in a word of prayer as I begin to close this out. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, as you had instructed, Father, I wanted them to hear what you had left for them and give them the opportunity, oh God, to go and look at what we're doing today. You know, more emphasis is on the plague, on what had kept them in bondage, and what you had left and told them to leave behind has been forgotten. God, open our eyes that we would begin to see better, know better, and do better. Lord, I'm not asking for a traditional sense of where folks lift up Christianity or be measured by Christianity, Father, because that's man's measuring tool. Father, I'm looking for your righteousness. God, to illuminate some things and that we ultimately see your love. Your love, your strength, and your power. I bless you, O God. Father, we pray for those people that are dealing with loss and where they have lost loved ones, Father.
We pray for those that are in the hospital on ventilations, oh God, those machines and respirators. God, we pray for those that are infected by this virus. Whatever man has called it, oh God, Lord, I know that you're more powerful. And I also know that the enemy now has been put on notice because you have some people that you have given instructions to. God, I pray that your men and women of God, your spiritual leaders, will come out and spiritually, through the power of the Holy Ghost, speak the same thing and of the same mind. God, I bless you. Lord, I lift you up. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, dear heart, again, I am grateful for the things that God has hopefully released unto you and has opened up an avenue by which you could now listen or look or go back and study. And I was told everybody don't read the Bible like I do and whatever that is. But it is beneficial that you would take the opportunity and read, then study. The holy convocation during the Feast of Unleavened Bread is imperative. Leaders, if you have not come together, join together, pray together, hear what the Lord has to say, regardless of who it comes from, that his people may be blessed and walk across pandemic, away from it and its attack on dry land. So I love you all. I know I didn't use my whole hour. This is an hour and 52 minutes. You know, I'm going to give you back your time and bless you. And I appreciate those that have called in, the very huge number of you all that I see on here. God bless you. And I see people from all over the United States. That's a blessing that have dialed in to hear. You may even have questions. Well, I mean, if you saw it on Facebook, if you have my telephone number, text me, send me some messages. You know, if you have questions, I hope and pray that you have been blessed. God bless you all. Until next week, we finish with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Prepare for the Feast of First Fruits. God bless you.